most of you here have known me long enough and been around me enough to know that I really love food. Give me a good meal or a good dessert or a good snack or really a good anything, and I am happy. I remember being in a class many years back, and the facilitator wanted us to pick a creative way to tell a timeline of our lives. And I told it by the various foods in my life. I can tell you about pretty much every trip I've ever gone on by where we ate. I fight my weight because I love to eat. I came by it naturally. It's a family trait. I admit that. And I have a problem with it. It was never a meal in my household that my mother didn't have dessert ready for us. On the weekend, she made dessert to get us through the whole week. So it's a family trait. So it's probably no surprise to you that I love this story in the Bible. Now, I'm not really a fish person, so I don't really like fish. I have a problem with seafood, and I really don't like freshwater fish either. So I might need to ask Jesus, why fish? Why not PB&J or something like that? But that's another sermon. But taking a small amount of food and stretching it to feed a multitude, now that's right up my alley. I have a problem of worrying about running out of food when people are coming to my house. I worry when we have potlucks, will there be enough food brought? Do we need to run across to Randall's and grab some extra? I always love going to my friend Teresa Knuckles' house because she always swears when there's a gathering. She always swears, this time it's going to be a simple meal, so don't expect. And we get there and there is more food than you can possibly eat. So this story touches me in a lot of ways. Meals with friends is something that most of us can relate to. Most of us like to sit down with our friends and share a meal together. I have to tell you that last week, being in Boulder, Colorado, with our youth, we spent a lot of time eating meals together. The Pine Street Church and Bob and Catherine Balance fed us beyond well. But there were two times that on that trip, sitting around the table was extremely meaningful to me. And I admit, I knew what I was preaching on this week, so I was tuned in to our meals. But the first one was a day that we were in Lyons, Colorado. Lyons, Colorado is just as you're beginning to go up the mountain to Estes Park. And the river runs through the town, and it was probably one of the hardest hit areas in the flood last year. Houses were wiped away. The ones that were left were terribly damaged. People are still not in their homes a year later. And this particular lady that we met this day greeted us as we drove up. She owned property on the side of the river that we were on, and she lived in that house. She also owned the piece of property directly across the river that she rented out, and that was her livelihood, both of which had been terribly damaged in the flood. Lots of work had been done on both houses, but the area around the house was a mess. And so half of the group took one side of the river and cleaned debris, and the other half of the group went to the other side of the river. And that side of the river is where all of the rock and mud had just filled her lot. And so there was no way to drive around or to park anywhere. at that house. And so we spent the morning shoveling and moving rock and dirt. The woman was out about with us, but she didn't say much. She helped work, but she was very quiet. You could tell that she was completely overwhelmed. I guess I could say she even seemed skeptical of what we were doing. Lots of people in the area had gone through being taken by people who came to help. One woman's house we worked in paid up front all the money to have her house redone, and the person left. And so we worked and did sheetrock and painted and did a lot of work at her house. But back to this woman, after we'd been working all morning, and you could tell we had not even made a dent in moving this dirt, Kevin said, "Well, we're going to break and go to lunch. Would you like to go with us?" And she said, "Yes." So we all went down the road to the little town of Lyons and took over a restaurant there. And I admit I was worried about the 18 of us pushing her over the edge because she was so quiet and reserved. But as we sat around the table and as the kids laughed and had a wonderful time and talked to her, she began to come out of that shell and she began to tell us the story of being evacuated and not knowing what was happening to your home. And she began to open up to us. And we had a good meal together. And then we went back to her house. And when we got back to her house, there was a man who Kevin had found a couple of blocks over who had, I don't know if it was a backhoe or a bulldozer or what you want to call it, but he had come up while we were at lunch and he had moved massive amounts of that dirt that we'd been trying to move with shovels. And as we got out and she could see the difference, she began to weep. And the kids were all excited watching this man move all this dirt, and they were getting excited and helping him when he would get caught on the fence or whatever. And he moved everything and they applauded, and the man went back to what he was doing. And our youth quickly got involved getting out there with shovels, leveling it and getting all the rocks, big rocks that were left, so that cars could easily move back to the house. And the woman began to tell more of her story and began to tell us of her faith and how it had been challenged and tested over this last year. She just did not know how to deal with everything. And here this group of kids show up, and they laughed and they talked and they made a difference. We hadn't talked about our faith. We hadn't mentioned church. I guess she probably knew we were from a church, but it really had not been a topic of conversation. And as we gathered at the end of the day to look at what we'd done and accomplished and to circle up, the woman wanted to take our picture, so she took our picture. And then Kevin said, "We want to pray here. Would you join us?" And she joined in our circle and she held our hands and she sobbed as Kevin prayed a prayer. You see, I feel like it was the time around the table when she began to get to know us, when she began to let her guard down, and she began to be comfortable. that made her able to share her emotion and to let us know she was moved and to let us see her vulnerability and let us see the pain and the hurt and just a little of it melt away. Meals unite us in a way that nothing else can do. I don't really know why that is. Maybe it's because we see each other in a place of need. We all need to eat. We just can't make it without eating. Maybe some of us could eat less than we do, but we all have to eat. So I don't know the psychology behind it, but I do know that there is something about sitting down and meeting around a table that makes us vulnerable to one another and opens us to each other. It's one of the things I love about Wednesday nights, watching what happens around the tables. Most of the week last week, we were forced to eat at several different tables. There just wasn't room for all of us. And then one afternoon, a member of Pine Street Church invited us to come eat dinner at his home. His wife was out of town, but he wanted to cook for us. And so we all came to his home. He had invited 4 or 5 of his close friends that they called themselves the Dream Team. And they got together once a month just to be in conversation with each other. Now, mind you, this was not affiliated with the church. They never discussed faith. They were just friends. And he invited them to help him cook dinner for us. And so we all gathered at his house, and he had a huge dining room with a long table, and all of the youth sat around that table. And then he put another table in his living room, and all of the adults sat around that table. And as we sat around and got to know some of the men at the table, the adults, we were talking. And one of them made an observation. And we looked over at the youth, and he said, "There's a lot of love in that group right there. There's a lot of love." I looked at them, and I watched them sharing stories about the day and talking about the upcoming camping trip and laughing and eating and talking and laughing and eating. There was love radiating from that room. I could feel it, but I knew them. But here were these men who didn't know them and knew there was love. I wonder how much of Jesus' wanting to feed the multitude of people was about their need. How much of it was about their need to be fed, and how much of it was about the need for these people to sit together and break bread together? Is it any wonder that one of our most important ordinances, coming to this table, began at a meal? When Jesus sat with his disciples and told them of what was to come, when Jesus opened himself up to his disciples and prepared them for his crucifixion. I think this story is also important because for me, when I feel inadequate, when I feel like I have very little to give, I can think about this story where 2 loaves and 5 fish seem to be very inadequate to those disciples. And you know what? Jesus showed them that he could do a lot with very little. When I think, how could what I have to offer be worth much? I can think of this story and realize that God does amazing things with very little. Sue Fowler, one of the sponsors on the trip, talked with the kids this week about the movie Harry Potter. If you're not familiar with the movie, Harry is heading off to school at Hogwarts. And he has his invitation in hand, and it tells him to go to the train station and to catch the train at platform 9 3/4. So he goes to the train station and he asks all of the help around there, "Where is station 9 3/4? And they all look at him like he's crazy. He doesn't know what to do. He's all alone. He's gone to platform 9, he's gone to platform 10, and he can't figure out what to do. When he sees a family walking by, the Weasleys, and he hears them say something very simple, and I don't remember what it was, but something very simple that clicked with him. And he knew that I can follow that family and get where I need to go. And he follows them, and sure enough, he watches what they do, and he does the same thing, and he ends up on platform 9 3/4. Sue shared that with the kids, saying, "We don't know what people see when they watch us. But sometimes it's the simplest thing that we're doing that people see. Sitting around a table and feeling love. Those youth at that table were sharing with total strangers the love of God. Strangers who had no idea what they were talking about. Strangers who had no real connection to the church, except this one man who invited them to come help teenagers. I also love that Jesus didn't bring that food. He didn't say to the disciples, "Bring me the food and I'll pass it out and it will be fine." Jesus took the bread and the fish and he blessed it. And then he handed it back to the disciples. The same amount of fish, the same amount of bread, he handed to those disciples. And they went and did with it. And it multiplied. He left it to the disciples. We have disciples here that I look around and I see them do amazing things with little. We often feel like we have little to offer. But sharing the love of God really takes faith in what we do not have. And having faith in what we are given and not in what we think we need. Thank God for the ministry of food where we can be vulnerable. Thank God for this table where we can come. Any person who wants to come to the table, there's room at the table. Thank goodness for a time when we can gather at the table together and we can share the love of God. And thank God for a table that goes into this world, that doesn't just stay here, but spreads throughout this world.